Okay, so on page Resh Tzadi. Okay, page Resh Tzadi. Let's see. We did already Dalid. Let's just run through it again very quickly. Dalid, Simen Nun Gimel, page Resh Tzadi, Halacha Dalid. Laws of Mashke. Reitev Mashke al Peros Virokas. Okay, fruits or vegetables that you soak, that you pickle in water, so that the peros shall become acidic. Afal pi, be pickled. Afal pi shadarkam, even though that's normal, that's the way you, that's customary. Like cucumbers, all the different types of vegetables he has over here, which include cucumbers, gourds, beets, cabbage, become makam. A, now, what do you do with the juice? You take cucumbers and you soak it in vinegar. And now you want to drink the vinegar. What do you do? What bracha do you make on the vinegar? On the one hand, vinegar, you make a shahakal. That's normally. But on the other hand, the vinegar no longer tastes like vinegar because the vinegar, the pickles, the cucumbers have been soaking in this liquid, whatever liquid it is, for a long time. The liquid now tastes like cucumbers. It doesn't taste anymore like its original state. Whatever the original liquid was, if let's say it was some type of diluted form of vinegar. Vinegar, no, you don't make a brach, but it's not, it's dangerous to drink vinegar. But let's say the vinegar is maybe it's a lemon juice or some type of juice, which would normally make a shahakal, and now it's being that the pickles or the cucumbers or the beets have been soaking there for such a long time, if you were to drink this liquid, it would have a very strong flavor of cucumbers or beets or whatever it is. So you would be inclined to say you should make a bore pri ha'adama or a bore pri ha'etz, depending upon what the fruit is. No, the rule is you still make a shahakal. Why? Because you did not soak, this goes back to what we learned last week, you did not soak these fruits or vegetables for the purpose of extracting their juice. You did not, in fact, the whole purpose was to change the state of the fruit itself. If you're taking a fruit and you're cooking it, you're doing something with it to extract its juice and to eat its juice, then there is a svara to say you would make a borei pri ha'etz or borei pri ha'adama upon the fruit or the vegetable. Because I'm preparing it for the purpose of extracting its juice. And the juice is an extension of the fruit. But here that's not what I'm doing. Here my sole kavana is to change the status of the fruit or vegetable, that it should be pickled. It's now just, we have a byproduct that we have some liquid which happens to have the flavor of beets or cucumbers or pickles or whatever it is. That is not significant enough to give the liquid its own special bracha, the bracha of its source, but rather remains with shahakol. Even though the flavor is in the liquid, that's not the purpose of the pickling, that is the fruit should give flavor in the water. Your primary intent was to transform the fruit or vegetable into something different. Therefore, the liquid is nothing more than a byproduct. Now he goes on to point out that it does get complicated. And what do we mean? Well, let's say a person eats the fruit, the vegetable, together with the liquid. You have some type of soup. So now the question is, do you make two brachos? The fruit soup, he actually says, see, now you want to drink. You have a soup, so the main thing, and so something you just make a, okay, it depends what kind of soup, that's very complicated. The soups get very different types, so then but you're sipping both together. Here it says you want to eat Maisa achila, and then you want to drink. I'm eating the cucumbers in a plate with a fork and knife, and then I'm drinking in a cup the liquid that was used to pickle the fruit. So it's a maisa achila and a maisa shasia. It's not a soup where you're eating the two together. When you're eating the two together, then there's a very big svar. You just make one bracha on the ikar, and that's the end. Exactly. So you make a bar pirudam, you generally do not make it. You're eating it together. If you're eating it together, potato soup, you only make one bracha. Fruit soup, potato soup, you only make one bracha. You make bracha as provided, of course, that and eat both of the two together. If you start eating it separately, then it gets very complicated. That's that we'll get to in the next simil.
We had it earlier.
Right.
That if he, let's say, eats the juice, if he's purposely...
Well, it depends on the kavana. Well, we learned yesterday...
It's a shahako. So over here, it shouldn't be more.
But this is worse, because there...
There's just a time.
But the case where you make a special bracha on the liquid, the bari per eitz, bari dam, is where you cooked it for the purpose of producing liquid.
If he's talking before, he's cooking, let's say, pineapples.
Okay.
You can eat pineapples, you're putting...
Right,
juice.
There are many conditions.
You don't want the juice. Your juice is only there... Right.
If you don't want the juice, you want to drink it... If it's something, there are two conditions that have to be met. Number one, it's something of a food that cannot be eaten raw. Number two, it only can be when it's cooked. Number two, you're preparing it for the purpose of both, for the purpose of the fruit, eating the fruit and the liquid. Then you make a borei priho eitz on the liquid. That was the condition. You have to have those two conditions. But here, that's not the case. I'm not cooking it to produce liquid. I'm pickling. The food is edible the way it is. I want it pickled. I soak it in water or in a fruit juice. And now the liquid has a distinct flavor. What bracha do I make on the juice? So it's clear, if you're just drinking the juice, you make a shahaka. But now he's presenting an interesting halacha where you're having both together. On your plate, you have a solid pickled fruit, and next to your dish, you have a cup of liquid.
It's a little, I don't know if you say chama or isn't it, because the fruit that you're pickling, you can't eat raw.
The fruit you can eat raw, why can't you?
Beets,
why?
You can't eat raw.
It depends on the food, I guess.
Okra, let's say you can't eat raw.
Okay, but
the cucumber, there's certain cucumbers that you can't eat raw. It's not
okay, but this is not cooking. It's pickling. It's pickling. It's different. I hear you saying, but this he says is a different category. You're pickling. It's
the
not.
Water is still not considered.
This water is not. But here he says there is a slight problem. If you're going to have both of them together, then he says there's a suffix. When we come akam im ochal tchila es hayorok uverach bore prihuadama. The achakach roitze lishtois is not a soup, and then you want to drink gam haroitev yesh suffik im tsarich levarich al haroitev kishema yotza bebirchas bari priyadama gam al haroitev lechein therefore lo yasekin. It's not a good idea. So in this particular situation, when you're pickling fruits and you're producing liquid, if you're just going to drink the liquid by itself, there is no question, you just make a shahakol. But if you're planning to drink the liquid together with the food and make a bari priyadama on the food and then eat the liquid, you have a suffix, so therefore it's advisable not to do so. Halacha hey. וכן פירות וירקות וקטניות שכדומה שביש להם במשקה שיש להם טעם בעצמוסו כגון בחומץ. If you cook fruits or vegetables or beans in vinegar or borscht or bechalav or milk, mevarchin al haroitev shahakol, because in this example the liquid is distinct before you even start. In the previous example, you're starting over the liquid. The liquid is neutral. The liquid is just water or whatever it is. It has no significance. Then you cook, you pickle your fruits and vegetables, and now the liquid takes on a distinct flavor. But in this example, you're starting over the liquid, which already has a distinct flavor. It's milk. It's borscht. It's vinegar. It's something that already is unique. And now you're cooking, you're pickling fruits and vegetables. By pickling fruits and vegetables and something which already has a unique flavor, it does not change its bracha. So in this case, mevarchim.
But if you don't eat the vegetable first?
If you don't eat the vegetable first, of course you're going to make a shahakol. Of course. If you're only going to drink the liquid, that's pasha. That's even in the previous case, you're going to make a shahakol. But in this case as well, in this case.
So then you'll have to make another adama if you want to eat later the vegetable.
Right, if you do it in that order, yes, seemingly if you take first the shahakol and then you do the other order, he says that later on. In the laws of Ikra Tavel, he says that. When you have such a suffix, it's always better to take the one that's not going to be exempt first. Okay, let's see. But then it's a bracha shenet tzricha, so you get yourself into different problems. But the im ochal techila es hamachol, but he says so you have the same problem in this case. It's because if you eat the machol first, yesh suffix im ein haroite niftra b'bracha zos. He says it's the same exact problem. Even in this case, where the milk and the borscht or the vinegar was used to pickle a fruit or vegetable, if you make a bracha, borei pri adam, on the fruit or vegetable, and now you want to also drink the liquid, it could very well be that since in this example it's now taken on a new flavor from the vegetable, maybe it's exempt with the borei pri adam, therefore he does not decide, and I guess he leaves like the previous example, you should not do so. You should not eat and drink in the same setting the liquid which was used to pickle your fruit or vegetable, because you have a suffix if you should make a separate bracha, or it's including the bracha, borei pri adam, borei pri of your fruit or vegetable.
Halacha.
He doesn't say the word lechein lo ye'aseh kein.
Right, he says over here that
he just says it's a suffix.
Yesh
suffix.
Okay. And over here it says,
I don't know to what to
yeah.
I don't know if you can medayek such that you can in the kitchen Shulchan Aruch. It's not a Gemara, it's not a Rishon, it's just a. Okay. Yeah. Like, you know, in the R school Gemara, you medayek in the footnotes. I don't think so. Not in this generation. Maybe the next generation will come back. We'll say, oh, the previous generations. Pa'alach avav, tzimukin raisins, sheyesh bohen lachluchis kolkach, shim ha'yudorcha noisam yetze mehem. If there was so much moisture in the raisins, that if you would press them, the liquid would come out, yetze mehem divshon, their juice, im kisoshon. The honey of the raisins. Im ki soshon, if you crush them, v'sharo oisam b'mayim l'tzorach shesia, for drinking, v'loy l'tzorach achilas hatzimuk, not for the purpose of eating the raisins, im sharu gimel yam, if you let the raisins soak for 3 days, v'toises, and they begin to ferment, if you were to pour it, it begins to bubble. Uli achar gimal yam era mehem a esamashke l'chli acher. And you take the liquid, you separate the raisins from the liquid. Hare mashke zo yayin gomur mevaruch nalav bari priyagofen. So people make raisin wine. There's always a shayla when you make raisin wine. Is it really called wine which you can use for the dalit kaisais? Can you really make a bari pri hagofen? So here the kitzur is giving us the basic rule. The basic rule is that you have to have in the raisins real moisture. Real moisture that if you were to take the raisin, you were to crush them, real liquid would come out. I have not crushed them. All I have done is, but I have not crushed them. I didn't crush them. What I do, I soak them. And now by soaking them, I soak it for 3 days, and I have a collection of liquid, and the liquid begins to bubble, so that already is called raisin wine, which you can make a borei pri hagafen, even if it's called raisin wine, provided though, he has one more condition, that the content of the raisins, the liquid that has come out of the raisins, must be at least 1/6. If it's more than 1/6, if it's more than 6 parts water, 5 parts water, one part raisin, then it's been too diluted to be considered wine. It's considered to be a flavored water, and you were to make a shahakal, and you cannot use it for yain. Hari mashke ze yain gam bruchim lebrpi agavin ulach bruchah main shalosh ala gefen umikol uvuchom makom shetzrichim because yain yetsim ba uvitzrichim. Here is the condition: liros sheyiyu hatzimukin yoyse mechelek shishes, more than 1/6. Of this mixture, shebamayim, umash umesharin es hatzimukin kmo shahayu b'lechusan kaidem shenis yavshu. We look at the raisins when they were moist. I'm not exactly sure how you make this calculation. I don't know. You evaluate the raisins when they were moist before they have dried.
You assume that the water that they absorb to get to the regular size, that is not.
That's not part of the water. That's new. That's something which is new. The davke kishenasa al yidei shuria. This technique that is called wine only works when it's done through soaking. Kamoshim is boyer. Avalim bishul hatzimukim b'mayim. There are all different types of recipes to make raisin wine. It seems like it used to be a big thing. Everyone prided themselves in having raisin wine for the seder. So that's what it seems, as I've heard. So, but if the recipe involves cooking, avalim bishul hatzimukim b'mayim einay nase yain al yidei habishul. Kein kosav sevachayim delo. That it will be called let's say you soak or you cook the raisins. There's another condition. Let's say this is just a byproduct. The reason why I have here the liquid, which I call raisin wine, was because it's a byproduct of preparing grapes or raisins for eating. Al das lechel gamas hatzimukim yesh b'kamas sveikos bebrocha sha'al hamashkef yigulim megavavigavan. So the bottom, the gist of the halach, all the details I do not know. It's not really clear exactly what's going on over here. All the calculations of what's called 1/6, but the basic gist of the halach is if you want to have raisin wine, which you can make a bor priagofen, it must come from raisins which are significantly moist and has to be soaked. If you use cooking or crushing, it's no good. And you must have the juice that comes out of the raisins must be at least 1/6 of the final product. And this must have been done l'chatchil initially for the purpose of drinking wine, drinking the raisin wine. If it was done l'chatchil for the purpose of eating, and this is a byproduct, it's not in halacha called raisin wine, and you cannot make a bor priagofen, you cannot use it for the Seder. Maybe it's chamar medina, but it's not called halachic yayin.
So it's not, there's no problem of yayin nesach.
It wouldn't be yayin esach, exactly, absolutely, right.
For
eating, if it's made for eating and it's a byproduct, so it's not called yayin. Well, he says there are many sekas. He the conclusion
right,
he says
so
if
you want grape flavoring,
yeah,
the curry, you're not making it for wine. You take dried out grapes.
It's not, this is raisins. You're starting here with the product that's raisin. You're starting out with grape juice. It's a whole different league.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. You can take raisins, let's say a ton of
right,
raisins.
So you want to say that if you want
to make a grape flavor.
Okay, if you want to make a grape flavor, okay, I hear what you're saying.
Very different grapes and raisins.
Huh?
Grapes and raisins taste very different.
So you want flavoring, you're saying you have a solution for the cautious industry. That you should have a grape flavor that comes from raisins, not from wine, and you'll solve a lot of problems.
You can make raisins from, and not the grapes that you make wine from.
Okay, let's see. Okay, there are two short shadim mitzvah halach on the bottom gimel. Imshar shleish yamim v'taiseis. Again, reish page reish tzadi aleph on the bottom halach gimel. And very bottom. Shadim mitzvah halach imshar shleish yamim v'taiseis v'tori zav hamogen avram v'ashach kasu deboy davka shleish yamim. It must be 3 days. It must soak for 3 days, like we mentioned. Al b'chok masadim v'hagos yad shol kasu delidon dekavash avikim eis leis. So I didn't can sagi bimul eis leis. He holds that no. It's already called halachic yayin, soaking raisins for 24 hours, not like what the Kitzer says. Uvarchas chayim, hevi b'shem hagoyin hakodesh bal divrei Yechezkel mishinavo shehisig al yad shol ve'ein lohokel b'pachas mikabliyam gigris. It has to be b'daf, like the Kitzer says, from the other place, it has to be 3 days. And machlokes the place, another condition, another issue, getting into raisin wine, must it soak the raisins soak for 3 days, or is it sufficient to soak for 1 day? Dalit. Cooking is not sufficient. It has to be only through soaking. Everything is a machlokes. Even cooking raisins to produce raisin wine is also halachically yain. You can make kiddush, uragos, marsham, mash, megamkin, datel hokel, aide bishul, uvishal, sechubis, minchasalozer, daiter, lahachmir, it's no good. Okay, next sim. Ikor v'tofel. Imoichal shmeid vodim, ayochal v'shoyis, a person eats 2 things, or eats and drinks. Veho echod ikor etzlo. V'asheni hu tofelo, she'ein kavanoso l'ochloi elo. The only reason why I'm eating this thing is because it has to offset a bitter or strong taste from the primary item, and if not for the fact I'm eating item one, I would never eat item two. El b'shvilu ikar v'im lo hayo lo yotz ikar lo hayo oichel klalas hatofel kigoyin. Now here he gives the example. Now this example is a very controversial example in the Mishnah Berurah. There are many places in the Mishnah Berurah seems to have a lot of conditions for this. Kigoyin. There are key words here. Shecholash libo. A person is weak. A person is faint. Now, this right, if you take these words very literally, which the Mishnah Berurah does, this when the Makar Halacha comes from Shulchan Aruch, then this halacha it's not very relevant. Halacha lemaisa, shechol, a person about to faint. You're about to faint. You're walking around. You need medical attention, and you're about to faint. Uchadei lechazik liboy, in order to revive the person, Oichel dog meliach. He eats some very strong fish. He goes some herring, some real stark stuff, the real good stuff. Oichel dog meliach. Now, when you go in shul, and that basically means anyone who Baruch Hashem is physically fit to be in shul, to have come to shul on his own two legs, l'chora is not in this category. Okay, so right away you'll take this halacha without knowing, oh, anyone that's in shul, they have some herring. Oh, so let me take some challah, having some herring, and I want to have some challah, so I'll take a bulkala, some bread with the herring in order to offset the very sharp taste of the herring. No, if you're in shul, you've made it to the kiddush, you're not in the category of shechol hashlibay. Okay, you could say, it doesn't say what it means chol hashlibay. Maybe chol hashlibay means a person who is, I need a coffee. I need a coffee, I'm chol hashlibay. Okay, the l'chor, that's not what it means. Chol hashlibay means a person really, really is very, very weak. Today, a doctor tells you, if you're so sick, don't dare, right? I don't think, Dr. Fruchter, when you advise a person who's very sick to go eat a herring or to eat radish, not likely.
Okay,
not likely. Things have changed since Hungary 100 years ago. Ela b'nei shem dvarim chalifim. It's only because they're very sharp. Oichel gam ad pas. Oh, so now I'm very willing to some bread. Oidover acher lematek hacharifas to offset the sharpness. V'chein im misave lishtos yayin tzraf. You want to drink whiskey because you're weak, and they give you, wake you up. Tzraf v'shoyse v'chein lematek hacharifas oichel acher lemat pas. You eat afterwards some bread. Oeza pri. So look what it says. You don't need to make a bracha on the bread. You don't need to say hamoitzi lechem shach. Right, tell us to a child. Not to make a broch on bread, not to wash, not to make a moitz lech menaretz. No, mikra din mevarich rak ala ikar ve'ala tofel einoy tzorich levarich v'loy lifanav v'loy la'acharav ki nifta bebrocha shal ikar. When you make a shahakal on the herring, that covers the bread, because the bread is only there to offset the sharp taste of the herring. Shal ikar v'gam, and it says also v'gam netilas yadayim einoy tzorich. Okay, so as we said, the Mishnah pretty much disagrees with this whole halacha. And it appears with the minig like the Mishnah Berurah. First of all, chol doesn't disagree. Chol hashlibay means you're really very weak. If you're not weak, herring is very sharp, but it's so sharp, I want to have some bread to offset the sharpness. But I'm not chol hashlibay. You have to wash. You have to make hamotzi. You have to make hamotzi. It's two things, this herring and this bread. So good, the herring is going to, the bread's going to offset. Okay, but why eating the herring? Because you're weak? No, because you like herring. You like a good geshmaka herring. Wake you up a little bit. You still have to make a bracha. As far as washing, the Mishnah Berurah says you have to wash. The only thing disagrees with the Kitzur, the only thing is you don't make a bracha. If you're eating a kezayis of bread, even if you fit all the conditions, you're lying in a hospital bed, and the doctor's orders say, eat the herring. The herring is going to rejuvenate you, going to revive you.
Oh, yeah.
And now you're eating the bread with the herring. You're eating the bread with the herring. Mishnah Berurah says if you're eating a kezayis, you have to wash. But don't make a bracha al netilas yodayim. But you must wash. If you're eating less than a kezayis, the kezayis is such a small amount. Bread, the real thing, kezayis of bread is very small. 1 ounce of bread, a kezayis of bread, you have to wash without a bracha according to the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, now the dafka. Now he goes on to explain this becomes more practical for us. Days the dafka im oichal im oikas so ikar tchina. First of all, he says this whole only part of the condition. First, I eat the herring first, and then I eat the bread. I'm going to eat the bread as well. That's your custom. Since that's your custom every week, it's as if you had kavanah to eat the tofel as well. And also another condition, you have to eat the tofel in that same location, in that same time period. To the exclusion, if you leave, if you exit the room, or there's a hefsek, lecheder acher. In that situation, you would have to make a bracha ala tafel, even in this case, we're eating it in order to mechazek your heart. Let's say the order is reversed. Before I eat the herring, I want to first get ready. I want a preemptive strike. I want to eat the bread in advance. The achakach es leikar kugoyin shavayt zelishas yain, and example, you want to eat whiskey, yain wine, or yain straf whiskey. Uchadesh lo lishas aliva arikana. You don't want to eat an empty stomach. Oichal tchila eze davar katan. Tzorich levarich gam ala tofel. Omdam. Now here it's a very big chiddush. It's an amazing chiddush. Look at this case. I'm wanting to drink some very strong whiskey, but it's dangerous for me to do so on an empty stomach. So I'm going to take some bread. And the bread is only a tofel. But I'm going to take the bread first. So I have to wash and make a hamaitzi. In this instance, you don't make a hamaitzi, you make a shahakol. Have you said shahalacha? Because since you have to make a bracha, because you did not yet make a bracha on the ikar. The ikar was, so it didn't, and you're not allowed to enjoy anything in this world without making a bracha. And since this is only a tofel, and it's coming before, Amlam Kevan Shu Rak Tofel Ata, Yesh Oimrim, Di Yorad Mibir Chosoi, Ve'ein Mivarchim Alav Rak Shehakol. It's an amazing halacha.
Well, what if it's a piece of cake?
Same thing. Again, this halacha, halacha we don't accept it. It's not, it's in the Mishnah Berurah, over here in the article, the notes, they say it's not halacha lemaisa, because only means, we only follow this rule, as the Kitzur, as Mishnah Berurah points out, cholash libay. And we teach halacha lemaisa, cholash libay, in Shulchan Aruch, to mean, really cholash libay. And the Zman Hazev, a person was cholash libay, the doctors would never let him. It's not accepted in today's society. A person cholash libay would be doing these things. We have much more advanced.
Yeah, you've got to look at the history.
Yeah.
When the Gottfried wrote the kids.
Yeah, exactly.
You had a little town.
Exactly. There were no doctors. Homely remedies.
Preparing, that was your meal for the whole day.
Right, exactly.
But even in Lita, you had more food.
Times have changed. That's why these halachas have to be understood from the context of where they're coming from, and have to be understood halachal ma'aseh manazeh. Okay, we're coming to halachal ma'aseh. We soon have some practical things, which also the big machlokes between the Mishnah Berurah and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, how we are noig, and there are different minhagim, what to do. We'll see soon. The Yesh Cholkim. Weak, you're very weak. Chola, your mind is weak. It means physically weak. The Yesh Cholkim, some disagree that even if you're eating it before, you never lose its original bracha. If you're eating bread, you were to make a hamotzi, eating cake, you were to make a mezonos. The Yesh Cholkim, lohoitzi es atzma mide sveka yishtek tchila. So the best thing to do is do it the other way around. Take your hands in your life. Take first the whiskey on an empty stomach, and make a shahakol, and then the fire department of the bread or the cake will be tofel to the shahakol you made on the whiskey, and you don't make any bracha at all. Ulohoitzi esatzmin b'dei sveika yishte t'chil k'tzatzmin u'ikr v'yivarech alav lifter esat tofel. Halacha dalet. Im kavanasa l'shneihem, let's say you're going to wasser both. Ki goyin shu shay se yayin tzraf u'ichol gam mine kistin u'duvu u'vidu v'shonin. Let's say the kavana is for both, you're eating some whiskey and you also want to eat some cake. Okay, kisnin viduvshana means, kiss means, it means like a filling. Apple pie. Some type of mizonos that
honey,
is filled.
You say honey cake. Honey
cake. Okay, honey cake. Okay, whatever, like mizonos. O mir kachas vichadam. Different types of sweet things. Tzarech levarech al shneya. That's really what it is today. Today, whenever you're eating two different things, even the one, you're eating one with the other, because you want to offset the sharpness of one type of food with another. Eating a hot pickle, a hot pepper, and you're going to have something else. But really, today, a person's mind is you want it both. So then you have to make two separate brachas. You brach tchila al ha-kisnin. So you always make a bracha on the mizonos, always comes first. It's more chash. That's going to be the next simon. Simon nun hey is about the order of the brachas. O al ha-mir kachas. Shehim chashuvim. V'achakach mivarech al ha-yayin tzuf. On the yayin li shahak. O mikol coffee. What about a person takes a piece of cake and coffee? The only reason why you're going to have the coffee is because you have cake. If I'm not going to give me a piece of cake, I'm not going to have the coffee. The coffee is going to push down to help me digest. So there's a svarit, there's an argument you can make. I shouldn't make a broch on the coffee because the coffee is only there to supplement, to be a tofel to the cake. No, that's not the way it goes. Once you're eating cake, you also want to enjoy the coffee. It's not that the coffee, it's true if you wouldn't have the cake, you wouldn't have the coffee. But once I'm having the cake, I want the coffee as well. That's what he paskins. The only exception would be if you dip. The only exception would be that you don't drink the coffee at all alone. You only drink the coffee by dipping the coffee. By dipping it, you take a piece of cake and you dip and eat the cake together with the coffee in that fashion. You never drink it alone. Then you just make a mezonos on the cake and you don't make a shahakol on the coffee. The coffee becomes a toffle to the cake. If you do that, I don't know if people do that. People do that?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the dunk.
But it would melt. I found that taking cake, bizman hazeh, and putting it into a coffee, the cake today, the standards are, it's so soft, even what we would call hard.
Let it stand 3-4 days. It gets hard.
Exactly. So our standards of what we call fresh, by the time it gets that hard, you wouldn't touch it. So at our standards, it's hard to see that someone would even want to dip. I used to take rice cakes and put rice cakes into it melts. Try it. Take a rice cake just for a second. Put a rice cake in a hot liquid. It literally in a second it's gone. It doesn't exist anymore. Shnei minim shnispashlu yad. Now here we come to a halacha, a controversial halacha. The different opinions. Two minim shnispashlu yad. You have two different. You have a dish. You'll give me some examples. A stew. Let's say you have a stew. You have meat and vegetables, and each item is distinct. You can see the carrots and you can see the meat. You can see two things being cooked together. Do you make one bracha? But what's the ikar? The ikar is the meat.
You have to cook it together?
Yes, you must cook it together. Absolutely. If you don't cook it together, then the rules are different.
You have raisins together with...
two things which are cooked together and they're distinct. And you can see they have not been mashed, they have not blended into one item. Shnei minim, shnei spash liyachad, im kolmin, muvdol liatzmo. So this is the psak of the kitzer. The Mishnah Berurah disagrees. As Hagdama, Mevarich al kol min bifnei atzmo beracha haruuyala. It's a machlag of the minhagim. No one is not clear what to do. Everyone does what they've been taught to do. Everyone does something different. The kitzur says you make two separate brachas. You'll make a shahakal on the meat, and you'll make a bar pri adama on the vegetables. Two, as long as they've been cooked together, and each item is distinct. This no one disagrees. Im nismo achu benistabku. But let's say they have been mushed together and they've cleaved together, and you cannot you can't really differentiate one from the other. Azai, then it's pashet. Azai, azim bosar ruba, we go bosar roiv. Umashu haroiv zehu igor umavorchan alav yashenis. So if the carrots are dissolved, have been crushed, and the dissolved, you can't really make out a carrot. You can see maybe some red stuff.
So the beans is meat.
That's the very big question. So you make a bracha on chalu, do you make two brachas or do you make one bracha? So that's a machlekes. Some make two and some make one. Most of the time you eat during Shabbos, so you made a hamletzi. But if you're eating it during the week, so that's a very. So the kitzur would say, the kitzur, by kiddush, okay, very by kiddush. So the kitzur says you make two brachas. The Mishnah Berurah disagrees. The Mishnah Berurah says you make a bracha on the ikar. Well, because on the ikar, so what would be the ikar on a chalent? It depends. What's the roif? So most of the time,
depends how they make it.
It depends. So every chalent is different. There's most chalents than most chalents. So the solution is if you want to only make one bracha, you have to be careful lechatchila to eat it together. Let's say you have a chalent where the majority is of the potatoes. Are the potatoes. And there's some meat, but you have like a clump of meat. Sometimes you have like a clump of meat. So what are you going to do? You're going to make a bar pri adama? Okay, so some will say you should make a bar pri adama, and that's the end. You don't make a shahakol. The kitzur says no. The kitzur says, Mishnah Berurah says you should...
Two separate brachas.
They've been cooked together, and they're distinct two separate brachas. Mishnah Berurah says no. You should really only make one bracha, but if I'm not mistaken, I don't have the rules in front of me. What you should do is you should try your best that when you eat the meat, you should eat it together with a little bit of the potatoes. I'm making a bar pri adama because the majority is potatoes, but I got a clump of meat here. I got a nice geschmack, a piece of meat. So when you eat that piece of meat, when you cut a piece of meat, eat it together with a little bit of the potato. So since it's being eaten with the potato, it's tofel to the potato, which is the main part of the dish. That is the ideal thing to do. If you can't do that, sometimes you don't have any potatoes left. You ate up all the potatoes and then you're just up to the meat. And there is no potatoes. So then, it doesn't matter. Since the dish, the majority of the dish is potatoes, and this is a tofel to the potatoes, so it doesn't matter. Even though you'll tell me, why is it called a tofel? It's much more expensive. The cost of meat relative to the cost of potatoes is 10 times the amount. So why? It doesn't matter. You go bust the rub. The majority of the cholent is still the... It's not what's choshev. It's the physical majority. The only exception, of course, is okay. I'm talking about shakel and hadama. The only exception is when it comes to mizonos. If you have a type of stew where you have mizonos, ach in echad hu mechamesh mini dogan, afapi shu hamiut hu ha'ikar, then you make. If it's mashed together, he's talking about over here, he's not talking about where they're distinct. If they're distinct, according to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you're always going to make multiple brachas. But where you have some type of dish, and in the dish there is also mizonos, and everything else is all mixed together, we're going in a case where it's all mixed together, not where they're distinct. Kishka, so that's where it's... Kishka, do you always make mizonos and kishka?
I don't know. I would think they have flowers in.
So the question is how much different types of kishka. That's another common...
Lots of male carrots, spices, and mostly fat.
Fat. It's mostly fat, right? That's
yes,
the thing. So,
fat.
Is the matzah meal? Is it a binder?
That's
why I have to get the a binder's book. Every who the art school, I have to go look. What it says kishka. We're breaking down kishka.
The matzah meal is only about 25% of the ingredient.
And what's the matzah meal for? Is it a binder? Or is it giving flavor?
The matzah meal is the binder.
It's a binder. So then, according to the basic rules, you would make a shahakol on kishka. But let's see what it says in the art scroll. They have the kishkat. It could be that there's so much matzah meal that it already takes on a distinction by itself. It's not just a binder.
All the fat that you trim off the meat.
Actually, maybe you make a purifiate on it because they're using coconut oil.
Okay, let's finish Allah. Achim Echo Mechamish and the government of Alpishu Amid, Haikosh, Kumosh, Rabbi Sif, Mem, Ches, Sif, Yur, Ayin Shams.
Kishkat says containing flour, you make them as ours.
Containing flour.
He doesn't give you another
Okay. It could be because it contains so much flour, it's already distinct. Like I told you, your question, licorice. My whole life, I'm always hearing back and forth, what brachim make on licorice? All the years.
It depends on the color.
The mizonos, shahakol, they never can decide. The person always back and forth. Is the mizonos in the licorice, is it a binder or is it an ikar? It's a very big dilemma. So the most recent authoritative psak halach is that it's decided that licorice is only a binder. There's not enough flour in the licorice to be distinct. You make a shahakal and a burin nefashal on licorice. I remember years ago, that was not the psak. That was not what we were taught. We were taught that there's flour. Flour is the ikur. There's enough flour. And you make a burin mezonos. That's the Israeli system over here. You have over here a dish. The dish, it's been all mushed together. You cannot determine. Kishka is another really great example. How much you have to ask a cook, how much flour really goes into kishka?
It's not the roll.
It gives it something chashev.
The most expensive ingredient in kishka.
No, it doesn't matter what expensive.
Is the matzah meal.
So in chopped liver also, you're saying they put in matzah meal.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what brachim are going to say with chopped liver? What does
but
he say?
It's a minor ingredient.
Chopped liver, there are many different types of chopped liver. There's some very watery chopped liver, and then there's chopped liver
yeah,
that's...
But it's not a binder. Let's say if the old way to make chopped liver is to take old challah
yeah.
So you wouldn't make a
mitzvah? Shahakol. Say, and it's
the liver is still the overriding ingredient, this liver.
So you're considering the flour.
You still have the flour. The
so obviously we assume that the flour is a binder. The flour is insignificant. It's very hard to say because I've eaten some very stiff.
Filler is not a binder. Filler is not a binder.
Isn't all chopped liver?
Maybe that's it. The filler is not a binder. Right? Filler is selling
yeah,
food.
Yeah,
but,
there are different. It's not really clear.
Can't hold the shape.
On your recipe.
Yeah, can't hold its shape. Yeah,
right. But kishka, you don't care. It's the taste.
Where do you draw the line? I don't know. It's not so simple. We've all seen. You go to Kiddush. There's never chopped livers that are the same. There are chopped livers that are very. They're all very different. Every cook has a different recipe for chopped liver, and there are some chopped livers that are like a cake almost, and there are some that are very like a mayonnaise. It's like a spread. So where do you draw the line? I don't know. It's not so clear.
It depends on the texture.
Exactly. So
We may. There was certain people asked in Baltimore they wanted with eggs, so they it adds to the price.
Doesn't it spoil very quickly?
With the eggs, of course.
Old cap liver doesn't have eggs.
No.
Okay, let me just clarify. So let's conclude that. Look, two last points to conclude that. Look, what about cereal or milk? Okay, we discussed this in the past. Okay, we discussed them as cereal milk. Of Moshe is very clear. A person has cereal milk, you only, if you put in the average amount of milk that the average person adds to a bowl of cereal, you only make one baracha. The baracha on the cereal, you don't make a baracha on the milk because you're eating it together. You're eating it together, and the ikar is the cereal. If you make it either, it's going to be a mazonos or a shahakol or a priyadama. You make only one bracha. If you add fruit,
you don't drink the milk at the end.
And no, even if you do drink the milk at the end, Rav Moshe says, if you put in the average amount, go to a dining room, and the person has a bowl of cereal, the average person, he puts in a certain amount of milk in order to enhance his experience of eating the cereal. And then he consumes all the cereal and there's leftover milk in the bottom. It doesn't matter, you can drink the leftover milk without making this any special bracha. But if a person is very thirsty and he wants the milk, for the sake of the milk, and he adds in more milk than is normal, then Rav Moshe says you should make two brachas, a bracha on the cereal and a special bracha on the milk. That's only if you're adding more milk than would normally be put in a bowl of cereal. If you add fruit, bananas or any other thing, vegetables to your cereal, you have to make a separate bracha. They are not tofel to the cereal. They require their own distinct bracha. And this thing that I told you, I just read over here, this I told you in the Kitz Shulchan Aruch, it's the Kitz and the Chai Adam, and the Mishnah Brewer brings down the Chai Adam, and the Kitz says if you have a stew, and you have potatoes and meat, so they're all cooked together. So again, the Kitzur says, since they're distinct, you can see the potatoes and the meat, you make two separate brachas. The Chai Adam says, to clarify, I said this before, you make one bracha. One bracha, he doesn't give any conditions. They've been cooked together, the majority are the potatoes, you make a Bari Pri Adama. If the majority is meat, you make a shahakol, period. The Mishnah Brewer points out that what the Chaya Adam says, making one bracha is subject to debate. He doesn't quote the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, he never does. But the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says you make two separate brachas. And the Mishnah Brewer advises, like I told you, the best thing to be Moitzi Nidea Savik is make one bracha and try always to eat the tofel, the thing that you did not make the bracha on, together with a small amount of the item which you made the bracha, and then you might see me call something.
But everyone agrees that if there's barley in the chalon,
make a mazonos. If there's barley in the chalon, so either if the whole chalon is a big mush.
No, even if you see pieces, you'll always, it becomes the ikar.
Yes, absolutely. You may make only one bracha. Yes, then if there's barley in the chal, now.
And the same with the soup. If you
How much barley? Now, here's another very big dilemma which is not clear. This is another thing which is not so clear. Let's say you have barley, a very small amount of barley. You have a chalant, meat, potatoes, and there's some barley. Are you really going to say that when there's just a few little pieces of barley, it gives taste, but it completely changes the bracha?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Mishnah Brewer says
Beferish, a teeny amount of barley, yeah. If it's significant, where do you draw the line? The classic example is chicken that is breaded chicken. They call it southern fried chicken. So what bracha do you make on the chicken? So technically, it's covered with mazonos. Mazonos is the yikar.
The Mishnah Brewer says it has to be cooked together.
Okay, cooked together, fine.
When you bread it, it's not cooked together.
But it's baked.
No, what you're doing is
it's fried, yeah.
It's a piece of chicken that is already cooked.
That's not true.
Not necessarily.
That's not how you make
it.
No, what are you talking about? The breading is already cooked, by the way.
Running's already cooked.
Let's assume it's cooked. Let's assume it's cooked together. So this is a very big dilemma. This is not clear. There are different opinions in this matter. Let's say you have southern fried chicken. So technically, according to that, one time I had a discussion with Zev Smith, he's a very big Talmud Chacham. He told me technically it's cooked. If you study the Shulchan Aruch, you should make a mezonos. Exactly what you're saying. You have a few little pieces of barley. A few little pieces of barley. Technically, that's the yikr. Gives flavor. You make a mezonos. He says, yet, after discussing with different poskim, it seems that poskim say you make a shahako when it's not very, very thick. Why? Because there are madregos in when the mezonos, just because mezonos is choshev and takes over, there are also levels of how much you need for it to hijack the food, for it to get the brach. If you have just a small, little, very thin breading on a piece of chicken, just that small few little crumbs is not necessarily significant enough to transform a large piece of chicken into a mezonos. It's chicken. Okay, there are a few little crumbs. It's not... Same thing, if you have a chalim, you have a few little pieces of barley. If you have a lot of barley, of course you're going to make a mezonos. And you should eat every single potato and piece of meat with the pieces of barley. But if you have a chalim, and 95% of the chalim is meat and potatoes, and scattered through the chalim a few little pieces of barley, you're really going to say that those
why
few...
Why do they put barley into chalim?
Make flavoring to make it look good.
Fries it out, makes it more pasty.
It's not clear. Many people will say that you're not that even when we say that there's a general rule, mizonos is the ikar. A dish that has mizonos, you make a mizonos. But the poskim say there are limits. Mizonos does not hijack. Does not take over the bracha unless you can say that it's significant. It doesn't have to be the majority. Everyone agrees it does not need to be the majority. But it must be significant. And just because you have a few little pieces of barley, l'chayr is not enough to make it significant when you're going to make a mezonos and a chalent.
If you have deli,
yeah,
you're taking a ruler piece of...
That's sure it's not cooked together. That, then the rules are you make two separate brachas.
But the only reason you're putting the deli on it is to hold the
doesn't matter. That's like the ikar the tafel, and you want them both now.
So
doesn't
it's
matter.
Tafel because you want it to hold.
That's
the,
just like we learned today: the herring, and the piece of bread. Just because I'm only eating the piece of bread because of the herring, but once I'm having the herring, I want to have hanah from the bread as well.
No, you don't.
No, you do.
You do.
If you don't want it, no.
You can't eat it.
Doesn't matter. Then you can't take it off. You don't have to have it all together. Then take it off. Okay, there's more. When
you
discuss,
can't take it out of it.
The halachas we're learning now is where they're cooked together. When they're not cooked together, the halachas are very different. You eat ice cream sandwich. How many brachas do you make on an ice cream sandwich? So it depends what your kavan is. That's the halacha. If you only want the ice cream, and like you say, exactly the same, is that the mezonos is only there because I can't. No, then you
can't hold the ice cream.
Then you don't make a shahak, you don't make a bracha on the mezonos. If you have hana from the mezonos as well, you make two brachas. They're not cooked together. They're two separate things that have been put together. So then, and the poskim say lechatchila, you should try and have kavanah from the mezonos as well.
So, like an ice cream cone.
Right, the ice cream cone. Also, so if you have a little kavan from the ice cream cone, so make first the bracha on the cone, and then you make a bracha on the.
No, it's a sugar cone. Also,
sugar cone in there's the shak. Okay, we'll stop here. There's a lot more next.